This is Coral Reef, and on the Tangerine Dream Team show this week, I have a special guest, Edward Martinez, who would like to speak about his new project he just finished just 3 days ago.
Yeah, we just got the live version, the final edit of the Junk Art Scramble on the web at www.junkartscramble.com. And it's the first art-based reality television show ever shot on the Central Coast. Local artists, local jobs, local yada yada. You know,
great.
That's what we're all about.
So what gave you all this impetus? What's inspiring you?
Well, this was, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, kind of thinking about where, you know, stuff was heading. And so when I lost my job, I decided that I was going to do something different. And I was going to see if we could make stuff in Santa Cruz County again. I was like, no, everybody said, oh, you can't make anything here. And I said, well,
really?
Yeah, you can, actually. So I threw, you know, a bunch of different ideas that I had had over the last couple of years into the hopper. And we actually threw this one out, and it landed on Marty Collins' desk up at the Digital Media Factory. We have an A-list Hollywood studio in Santa Cruz, California, right in our own little backyard, and nobody knows about it. And it's Marty Collins' Digital Media Factory up on the west side, and it landed on his desk, and he said, I want to make this. And I said, okay. So we went out and found a little money. And now, so the story is about, can you still kind of, you know, bootstrap yourself in an economy like this, and still can we do stuff that actually makes a living for us in the art, especially in the arts community? Can we do stuff that makes a living for us and still creates new jobs and new revenue and new, you know, can we create new industry in Santa Cruz, and what's that paradigm going to look like? So we actually, you know, stumbled into this little gold mine up on the west side, and all of a sudden, we have a finished product in the can. We can't believe it. You know, so 3 months of incredibly hard work, and we actually pulled it off. And now we're starting the last leg of it. You know, all the editors are gone, and you know, we've got the thing done. And now it's about now we've made this really cool thing. Can we get it out on the market? Can we get through the firewall that Hollywood's built up to keep everybody out? And can we create content and get it up into a place where we can get paid for it? So that those jobs can create it. Can we break through? Now it's about, can we smash through the guards? So to me, it's about 6 degrees of separation. It's about how many people can we talk to about the Junkyard Scramble? Until we find somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows exactly the right channel that this thing needs to go into. So that's what we're doing. That's now my full-time job.
It's fantastic, Ed. And you're hoping that this county will even find it in its purview to get people hired.
This is really a ground up game. And so I said, you know, a lot of people have already hit the site, and they were at the premiere, and they've been following along with what's going on. And you can go see the pieces that the artist did. They're at the Rittenhouse building downtown two big windows facing Church Street. The artist produced, this was the Junk Art Scramble is a contest to see if we could, between two teams of artists, to see if you could interpret a piece of poetry or movement or music or some kind of intangible theme like that, and then create a three-dimensional piece of work out of it in 10 days. And you had to scavenge all the material that you used in the piece. So we're creating significant three-dimensional pieces of work with a group of people, with two groups of people that have to sort of dogpile onto one concept and execute a single piece. And it was absolutely blew our minds watching these artists work together and learn how to work together. And you think about it for a second, art is like usually this very cerebral, lonely kind of person. You know, we work on our own stuff. It comes out of our head. We do it the way we want to. We very rarely, as artists, collectively take something and execute a piece. It's unusual. So it was really fun to, you know, put a little time stress on the situation, give them a piece of Morton Marcus's, legendary local poet Morton Marcus's work, and then watch them, you know, scramble to, you know, make these unbelievable pieces of artwork that they did there downtown. It's just amazing. It was incredible.
You're using all of one poet's work?
Yeah. Well, no, we did it. This was with the pilot episode. That's what we did. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make some noise here. I'm going to pull this microphone out because my head's getting twisted.
Yeah.
So
be comfortable.
Yep. So that was the way it turned out, and it was amazing to watch the whole thing happen. It was just, you know. So we said, Okay. We had Morton Marcus's wife, Donna Mekas, contact me, and she just got this. She was one of those people that heard the concept for the show and got it. She just knew exactly what we needed, and Morton Marcus's work was perfect for this. It was too long, but the poetry itself was beautifully descriptive, and it was a local guy, and he was like my first English professor at Cabrillo College. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just amazing to watch these guys kind of, and how the different artists interpreted the words into a three-dimensional piece. It was nuts. It was just crazy.
And how did you choose the judges for the, you know, final cut or final decision of who was best? And where did you get the teams?
Well, the teams, I knew that I wanted it. Part of the operation for this thing was to give local artists a platform outside of Santa Cruz that they could, you know, so they could develop their names and develop their work and get their work out to a broader community. And so, in a way, the judges were a product of, well, Wallace Bain is our art writer, and he's also not only a hell of a nice guy, but he's very, very smart, and he's an artist in his own right. And so he's a good person to line up on that. Same thing with Greg Archer, who is, I mean, if you look at his office up, if you ever get a chance to go see Greg Archer's office up in the good times, it's like, you know, he's an artist in his own right.
Yeah.
And then Chip, who's when one of, you know, the Downtown Association's been a modern dancer, was, you know, creator of the First Friday Art Tour. So all of these guys were just completely, you know, excellent for the job. You know, and when you think about what First Friday has turned into over the last couple of years, we've been doing First Friday for three years now. It has been a couple of years now. How successful it is. It's like, you know, it's the only thing to do. If you haven't gone out on First Friday Art Tour, you need to go check this out.
I quite agree. Once you have that experience, you go, wow, people are kind of grooving together, and they meet each other and they know each other already, but they didn't think that they'd, you know, all be there.
Well, there's so much talent in this town. In this town. It is unbelievable. I mean, and you're talking about from the written word to the, you know, the creative arts to the filmmaking industry to, you know, I mean, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. This town's extraordinary. And that was one of my ambitions, was to, you know, create a show that we could take to Chicago and show some of the found artists that are working in found materials there, and work with kids that are, you know, because there's a kids episode underneath all this stuff that we really want to produce. If we get this thing funded, we'll start making the kids episodes called the Grommets Edition Junk Art Scramble. Huh. And that's for kids that are like me, that were so ADD that they couldn't sit still for a math program, that they, you know, for an hour of math every day. But these are the kids that we're losing right now.
Yeah.
And if you take those same kids and put them in front of a piece of steel and say, okay, what's the best way to, you know, calculate the circumference of a circle? Well, pi r squared becomes quite relevant at that point, and they get it. And it's the same thing. You've got to write the script for this thing. Well, then it becomes a writing project. You know, it's geometry. It's calculus. It's, you know, all that stuff that they have trouble getting. And if you put them in front of a project like this, all of a sudden the math becomes relevant, or the writing becomes relevant, and it ignites them because the art's in the middle of it. So we've got a kids episode that's going to kill people. It's just going to be so great. So now it's just about getting it funded.
What will it take, and, you know, how much?
Well, you know, it depends on how you do something like this. But I mean, we figured that we could make, you know, credible episodes of the Junk Art Scramble for about $46,000 an episode, which is really, really cheap by industry standards. So what we're going to do is we're going to work on finding somebody that can get us a distribution agreement, and then we can go out and fundraise.
Yep.
And that'll get us the money that we need to buy the cameras and some of the audio stuff that we need. But other than that, with Digital Media Factory, we've got Farron McGarren up at iTraction. We've got Robin Makemer at the Santa Cruz Music Foundation. You know, we've got so much talent up there. It's incredible. So all the personnel, the team we've got is unbelievable. So we're really, really ready. We've got 26 episodes outlined.
All right.
To take this to every city across the United States. You know, Artspace USA are the people that built the tannery. And they've come on, even though they can't afford to give us money, they have given us access to 26 facilities across the United States, so we can do this in any city. And so what we'll do is we'll go shoot the Junk Art Scramble while I'm over talking to the At-Risk Teen Center and say, let's put together a couple of teams of kids, and we'll shoot the adult version of the Junk Art Scramble, and then we'll shoot the kids episode. And people will be able to follow it online as a fully interactive show, and then we'll release a...
Go to 26 cities on your tour bus.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do 20 cities. We'll do a whole season's worth of episodes. That's what we want to do. We've got them all drawn up and ready to go.
How big's your production team?
We've got 10 people. We've got 10 people that are the candidates. Now it's, you know, this is what I'm trying to do right now is I'm going, okay, I need to hire these people. I need to hire these people and start making Junkyard Scramble episodes. And, you know, so the piece that we've got up now, that we've got up on the website at junkyardscramble.com, is a 33-minute kind of a single piece just so that we can tell the story. You know, but it was really built as a very web-dependent, very tech kind of a show. So now we've just got to go find sponsors. So we're hoping that you out there in listener land, our dear devoted listeners, can help us, you know, just make sure that we, you know, that we're throwing this website to whomever we can to get this thing going so that we can start employing artists in the town of Santa Cruz. What a concept. What a concept.
Yeah. Yeah. Any artist contact you since seeing this? I heard that YouTube's had a few thousand hits now.
Yeah, YouTube was like, yeah, we really like the show, but we don't have enough hits. That's what we're out there shamelessly saying, www.junkyardscramble.com. You know, and just hit your social networks because, unfortunately, I think the industry really right now is about numbers. And it makes it very easy for them to go stupid on things, which is a bad thing for the industry to do. So they go, well, if you don't have, you know, 4 million hits, it's not a – look at all the classic, you know, cute kitty things on YouTube that get 4 million hits. And so all of a sudden their standard for anything good is 4 million hits. You know, and I'm like, so they're losing a lot of really good content. So we've got – what I've got to do now is I've got to go out and while I'm out, you know, talking to agents and literary people, I've got to go out and make noise and ask everybody that I know to hit our website and help us drive the numbers up there to a point where we can start – you know, where they go, oh, okay, well, there must be some, you know, because everybody loves the show. So we know we've got the content. Now we just need to tack those numbers on. So, you know.
Have you contacted reality production people in Hollywood?
Yeah, I'm beginning that process. But like I say, there was a period in the internet when the internet created a few open doors. You know, where all of a sudden you could actually get to people by Twitter or by whatever. But now they've got it. There's so much. There must be so much crap coming through the wire that they've actually sort of shut down. Now you have to go. You can't even get through the firewalls anymore. I mean, it's impossible. Yeah. You can't get to somebody that can talk to you. It's crazy. So now we're all barricaded out of the industry again. Where at least it used to be in the bad old days before the internet. It wasn't what you know. It was who you know. But at least you could go to a storefront and get to know the gatekeeper and kind of you could work your way, you could peck your way through that wall eventually if you tried hard enough, if you were really dedicated, you know, you really believed in what you were doing. So now they've made it so that you just can't get through anymore the pile. So, you know, now, so I'm going on two directions. I'm going to the internet and I'm saying to all my friends, please just hammer the hell out of this thing and send it to all of your people and say you must hit this website thing. And then while I'm doing that, I'm doing what I do well is to talk to a lot of people and say, you know what, everybody knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that will get put us in the right place to do this.
I'm
going to wake up every day and I'm going to go get up and go turn over more rocks until I find the right rock. I'm going to turn over one rock and I'll go, oh, look, an agent. There he is. And he's got... yeah, I'm going to put this in front of Mercury. We like this. Let's do it. So anyway, that's how we're doing it. And thank you so much for giving me the airtime. Let me bug your people.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
You could come on here, do it again.
Anytime.
You could get yourself probably on TV yourself, you know, and just say, look what I'm doing.
That's what, you know, like I said, you know, now it's about talking to, you know, if it weren't for guys like Chip at So What TV and Greg and, you know, people that have covered us and stuff, and that's what's nice about living in a town like this that has A, a lot of talent, and B, a lot of people that really know how to do stuff here, is it's really easy to plug in to what's going on. And so, you know, that's what we're counting. This is a community. The Junkyard Scramble really was and is a community effort. It has a lot of different layers to it. But we wanted to create reality television that was uniquely fun to watch, but that actually had a point that wasn't like, oh, what can we blow up today? Which is, you know, I used to love Mythbusters. I knew Jamie Hyneman pretty well. And now it's gotten to a point where they just blow stuff up.
Uh-huh.
Let's go blow up a dump truck or blow up a refrigerator or blow up a toilets or something. And I'm like, I wanted reality content that was that entertaining and fun, but actually that you'd actually learn stuff from. So our thing is, you know, where all the reality television shows are, they go, don't try this at home because you will die painfully and with great shedding of blood. You know, what we're actually going to, we say at the beginning of the show is that we actually want you to try this at home and we're going to help you because assemblage is really cool. And this society generates so much crap that, you know, if people, this is a part of another one of these little neat side wrinkles of the show was that we could actually show people how much crap the society generates and that there's this great free resource for artists out there. That, you know, God, you can make stuff out of all this, and it's everywhere. You know, you can go find, you can just, you wouldn't believe what you can make out of all the stuff that this society generates. And it's a great way to sort of side out on recycling and think about, you know, how much, about, you know, waste reduction and how much we, how much do we really need to get by in this life? How much crap do we really need to generate? And, you know, for everything from the, I know guys that work in plastic, and they work in clamshells, you know, all that excessive plastic packaging, they make these incredible things out of it.
I've seen that on the net.
Yeah.
I've seen
There's some amazing
furniture
stuff.
And whole furniture design and homes made out of all this plastic.
Well, and you think about it for a second, and found art is the oldest art. It is the oldest art form. How long have we been making shells that we find on the beach into beautiful necklaces? It was our first currency, was it not? You know,
shells.
You know, it was the first kind of coins that were, you know, that were not kind of like, you know, so you think about it, we've always been, I grew up on a little island in Maine, right? My mother had this hyperactive five-year-old running around, and she would have me tearing strips of cloth out of the old bed sheets and out of, as the girls grew up, their old dresses, to make quilts with. And my grandfather had an old Buick out behind the garage, and my mother would say, wouldn't it be nice if we had sconces up in the fireplace? And my father would run out with his cutting torch and go blow a piece off the Buick and make sconces for the fireplace, you know? We didn't throw anything away. And that was the way we used to live, and it didn't really change. This excessive crap thing didn't really start until the 50s after World War II when we went on sort of a crap orgy. What did you say? Is it? That's a, is crap, that, can I say that? Is that a good
I can say that.
There's
islands of crap, aren't there? Throughout the world. Floating, for example. There's so much.
Yep. And so, to me, it's like, what's nice about plastics and about all this stuff, there's recycling.
Yes.
Is like, you can take a beer can and make a new beer can out of it. That's recycling. Well, we're practicing something a little bit more, you know, kind of, you know, we're practicing upcycling.
Okay.
Which is where you take a beer can or something that has outlived its design specification and you make something better out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Art is societally valuable. You think about what our culture would be like without art. And our art institutions and programs are under attack like they've never been under it. I mean, we haven't seen this kind of level of, you know, how much budget can we cut out of our art department since Reagan. So another little thing about the junk art scramble is that this is a way to, so we're trying to sort of preemptively go in there and make a value statement for arts and arts education in our schools because this is critical thinking skills. These are our kids that have strong art backgrounds do better on their SATs. Kids that, you know, that have a strong art program, music is math. You know, art is science. Stagecraft is literature, you know, and because there's all this stuff and it's under attack. So what we're doing is that, you know, a big thrust of the show is upcycling as a way to take something of, you know, that has, you know, exited its design function and make something actually more valuable out of it. And then another little core theme of the show is art is core curriculum.
Right.
Because if we make statements like that, that's what the neocons do when they want to attack something. They just create a boogeyman statement and slap it on there and then say it over and over again. So I want y'all to do this little meditation right now with me. Say it with me, brothers and sisters. Say, art is core curriculum. And we just go over and over like that because until we realize that art is really important to the development of our kids. And so this is one of those little stealth benefits of the Junk Art Scramble on Wyoming.
How about getting a commercial time on corporate TV?
Yeah. Oh, you bet your butt. I mean,
so get everybody to hit, you know, the website.
I might be able to, you know, I mean, I'm going to get up every day and my whole job is to turn over rocks for, you know, until I find the right stuff. So if you guys have, if you want to reach me, my name is Ed Martinez
And my email address is elm3@got.net. I really want your suggestions, and if you know of anybody that can help get us out there, we're going to actually put this thing on the ground, and we're going to start making something really, really cool happen with this show. It was amazing to watch. As an artist myself, it was amazing to watch and sit there and watch these teams kind of struggling with these concepts and not say anything. I was like, it was really hard for me not to go, hey, why don't you put it up there? God, it was amazing to watch them do it.
Is there anything you won't change if you ask, like if someone wanted to pick it up and would say, oh, but you got to do this and you can't take this long, or you got to change and make this better?
No, there's nothing I won't change. And so, I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, somebody I was talking with somebody about this, and they're going, oh, you'd sell out? And I was like, yeah, I would. Yeah, in a heartbeat. Drop my drawers just like that. You would just in a heartbeat. You know, and I'll tell you why. It's because the kids' junkyard scramble. If I can get, you can't do anything until we get funding. You know, so if the adults episode of the Junkyard Scramble funds me to start making the kids episode, these are kids that are not going to be recruited by our prison industrial complex.
Okay, great.
You know what I mean? So, you know what, if I have to sell out to fund the other stuff that we want to do with this, so be it. So be it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So you're going to keep your lifestyle really up and clean and right so that no one can say trash about you.
That's right.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just going to go with it. We have to find a way to make jobs in this town. And, you know, I might get picked up by somebody like Merv Griffin who will say, look, here's some money, go away. But the cool thing is that the show, if they keep the show anywhere the way it is, it'll work. Whether I do it or not. So I can let it go.
All right.
You know what I mean? So it really doesn't matter. But it's about getting us to a place where we can make stuff in Santa Cruz so that the money trickles here. So that, you know, our local people get the benefit from this, especially local artists. It's very hard to make a living in this town.
So what's Art Cultural Center say?
They love it. Mm-hmm. My biggest champion is Anna Osterman, who is like the goddess of all things cultural council. She's just absolutely rocks. And this, she has been she was one of those people that I went to early on when I first wrote the thing up and said, am I crazy? And she was like, well, yeah, but not in this particular case. So it was kind of like, you're like, yeah, Ed, you know, come on. Yeah. Yes, you are. You are crazy, but you're right. So please do this. So that's why I did it.
Have you written grants or done anything like that?
We're just starting that phase of it. Mm-hmm. We're just, like I said, we didn't really have a show in the can until about 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. So, or 4 days ago, I guess, is when it went up. But now that we have something that really looks like serious television, thanks to all the guys that put in endless amounts of sweat and agony over, you know, the final edit, you know, up there, you know, we've got a real television show now. And now it's really my job to give those guys a break. And get my little behind out on the street and say, you know, now we've got to finish it off. Now we've got to execute. There's so many people, you know, around that have great ideas and they never finish them. They'll get the thing done, and it's classic of
Tell
the industry.
About it. Mm-hmm.
It happens to a lot of people, and I'm not going to go there. I'm going to execute this one, or crash and burn in the process. I mean, you know, we've probably got about 2 more months before we all go completely broke. You know? So we're going to run this one right up to the edge of the cliff. There's no doubt about it. But that's, you know, no, it's kind of like a no balls, no blue chips moment in the world. I grew up with George Bush, and we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming. So it was like, you know, those of us that knew the history in that one, you know, said, okay, so this is what we did. We said, okay, we've got to start making stuff because you can't cut your way out of a recession.
Mm-hmm. I think things can look up. We don't all have to believe in that everything's going to be destroyed next year, or for one example.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that if we have to, you know, there are so many people with good ideas out there. Now we just have to make it possible for people like me that actually have, you know, shovel-ready projects that they can get them going. And sometimes it just doesn't take that much. You know, we made this whole show on almost nothing. Mm-hmm. But you can only do that once. You can only ask people. This is another, you know, problem with Santa Cruz is that, you know, we're perpetually working for free in the arts.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I'm willing to ask everybody to do it once, you know. But now the next time I want people to do something for me, I'm going to expect to pay them.
people, just because you're an artist means you should be able to make a living at what you
do. I'll make a plea out there. If you're hearing this and you'd like to donate to Free Radio, put that you'd like it to go to this show, and then I'll see to it that they get...
No, we keep Free Radio going. I haven't been in the dungeon for years. I love this place, and it's little outlets like this that are. You guys are the bastions of the last of the wild woolly days of, sitting in front of microphones doing the yeoman's work.
Pirate radio.
Yeah. Well, you've got a long lineage. Your DNA, Pirate Radio's DNA goes way, way back.
Uh-huh. I interviewed the originator of Free Radio, Pirate Radio. His name is Tom Lodge, and he had a Radio Caroline out on the ship.
Got a lot of coverage here.
He wrote a book.
Of people put ink on that story. It was great. I didn't even know he was still alive. So he
lives in Scotts Valley, and he's a Buddhist.
That would make sense.
Yeah. And he wrote that book called The Ship That Rocked the World.
Yep.
And, he's
around. Old lightship tender, as I recall. But I just, the people that do stuff like this, that are willing to take the time. I mean, when you think about the effort that goes into producing anything, whether it be a radio program or a television show or a ballet dance or a cultural center event or something like that, it's countless hours of endless, we do it because it feeds our soul. And that's kind of what, myself as a sculptor, I love banging steel and I love making art because it feels good, right? And so we did this show as a way to create entertainment that would teach people how to do the same thing so that they could have the same experience. And I don't care if they work in quilts or if they work in plastic water bottles, which another guy, friend of mine who runs the Pacific Gyre Project, did this incredible sculpture of the planet out of plastic water bottles, and it was really fabulous. And so I'm going, there's so many mediums. Kirby Scudder was one of the team, the Team Tannery won I can't really say who won the Junkyard Scramble. you have to go to the website, junkyardscramble.com, to find out. But the Kirby Scudder works in newspapers and cardboard. And I know people that work in old books and bed springs. I mean, it's amazing what you can do, just look at the art that's been done around this town for 30 years. And things like, and that's all part of the same culture. The people that think that way start pirate radio programs.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same mindset. It is. Ooh, that gutter. Wow, I could do something with that, baby. Make art out of it, right? So it's the same people. It's the same kind of mindset. And I think that people find that when you take stuff that's flying by the side of the road and turn it into something that people go, ooh-ah, about, it makes our life better.
So are you going to do this like a public broadcasting, or are you going to get sponsors? What I'm trying to say is that that we'll pay for this every week.
We're not sure. It's going to be about who finds it. We built the show as a web hybrid, a web kind of broadcast hybrid. So the show that's up there is a 33-minute single, which it really was intended to be a series of shorts that you could be serialized for the web, but we just didn't have enough money to do. It would have involved a lot more work, breaking out all these little episodes, but we could do that. And so if we get a good content provider like YouTube that comes and buys the content from us, and it becomes a web product, then we'll build it. We'll build
that
the storyline one way. But what we'd like to do is have it so that, the show starts shooting on a Monday, and we have, for 2 hours a day, you're live streaming. So you're watching, during one hour during the day, you're watching the artist kind of crawl through piles of metal and pick the stuff that they want for their piece. And then the other hour is in the evening when we're going over the video that we shot so that the audience can actually interact. So the audience will actually have some decision about how the game goes when we're in the edit booth. And so you'll have 5 days of that, or 7 days, or however long the game lasts. Depending on what the artists want to do. So say it's 10 days. You'll have 10 days where the audience can jump on the web and watch the game go down, and watch how the artists work, and watch where they're finding their stuff and how they're doing it. And then at the end of that thing, we'll edit the piece. We'll edit the piece to a standard cable, 28 minutes or whatever it's supposed to be, and it will be all of that live. All of that live footage that we shot, and it'll be the interaction between the audience and the thing. So we'll make a cable piece out of that. So that would be like a good example of a web show that turns into a cable thing, and they feed each other. So it would be a cave. That's really what we want to do if we can. So whoever, if we can find somebody to buy the content, then we can pull it off. Then we can start going doing stuff, and it's going to be a gas. There's no doubt about it. Because you imagine, yeah. I mean, the next episode will probably either be UCSC versus San Jose State or something. We'll do another local project just to make sure the format works. But we want to go up to the Creative Reuse Project up in the Artists in Residency Program up at the Dump in San Francisco and have a team from the Artists in Residency Program versus Burning Man.
Yeah.
And we'll some of the original old burners from North Beach. And what we'll do is we'll give them 10 days. And they'll produce stuff that's 60 feet tall. You know it.
Yeah.
And it'll be absolute madness to watch on television. It'll really be fun. I mean, you'll watch some guys that have really serious joining skills and engineering skills. And that's part of the show is that, wow, look at how they put that thing together. You know, you could make something. Look at what they do at Burning Man every year. The man itself is like, it's nuts. I mean, there's a lot of real math and hard science that goes into that. It'll be fascinating to watch these guys. You put them under a little bit of pressure. Give them something just fuzzy enough, like a poem or a piece of music or modern dance or something, and watch them just go crazy trying to build a, you know, dog pile on one concept. So it'll be pretty mad TV. It'll be really fun. So I'm hoping that one of you guys out there listening to this knows somebody, Lucas's second cousin twice removed, that can get us in front of somebody that can get us funded.
Yeah, we'll spread the word for you.
I believe.
I'm Cora Weef. I'm speaking with Ed Martinez here with Hooks Buzzworthy in the studio, too. And we're talking about the Junk Art Scramble project. And, Ed, you have a phone number that you'd like anyone to use?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Call me. You can call me at 831-419-5855. And you can find us on Twitter, and we've got a YouTube page. All you have to do is, you know, search Junk Art Scramble on YouTube. We've got about 15 clips up there with Sally Willie from Mariposa's Art, which will be benefiting an organization that brings after-school art and music to schools that are having it cut.
Yeah.
So there's just a whole bunch of really good stuff on the website, junkartscramble.com. And that's where you can find us. And just like I said, hammer your social networks with us. It's the only way we're going to get it out. This is going to be a one person at a time kind of a thing. So I'm asking each one of you to just tap that website and then shoot it to a friend so that we can start finding our way through this, put the last leg under the table.
I'd like to see you out in public, and you're going to be airing the premiere. Are you going to be showing this outside someplace?
So, we're talking about doing the next First Friday and having a screening of it at the Museum of Art and History.
Nice.
If we can figure out how to do it out, we'd like to do it outside. Maybe, you know, do it as a sort of a guerrilla video would be fun. You know, up against a building or something at the Museum of Art and History for next First Friday. Mm-hmm. Would be really fun. Mina Story is she's doing such a great job over at the museum. She's just incredible. And so we're really looking forward to working with them. And we're, you know, it's just about discovery, you know, at this particular point is, okay, how does nobody like me, you know, pop through this, you know, the impregnable wall of the media industry, and how do we make jobs in our town that keep us sustainable? No big deal.
Yeah. Invest.
We can do this, yeah. Yeah, we can.
Produce. All you artists, keep going. There's hope because there's something to do with you.
Well, and you know, the last thing, and Kirby and I were talking about this the other night, is that, you know, essential in times like this when arts are really under attack is that artists work in community. Do not forget your community. It's
right.
The other artists that work here, whether they be digital artists or whether they be musicians or painters or sculptors or whatever you do, network your local, your other artists in town. The key to our survival is in collaboration, which is another nice aspect of the Junk Art Scramble, is that it's kind of artists working together. And that's was another kind of a neat tweaky thing about the show, was that here's this, you know, but it's a good metaphor. When you think about our survival depends on us not going out and working on our own thing only. Now, more than ever, it's like every artist that has this thing in common with every other artist in this country, especially, that we're about to get hammered.
Yeah.
You know?
And we better start working together.
Or make your competitive edge work for you. I mean, you work with in order to gain. I mean, you are going to have a winner and you're going to have a loser, but really, they're all winners.
That's right.
Is that the concept?
That's absolutely right. But I think even in a broader sense is about, you know, what do we do when we're doing our own artwork, whether it be music or, you know, I think to me, I look at the people that do radio as artists for sure, working all those, you know, buttons and when the bumper music comes up and how it does. It's a very skilled thing. And I, you know, and so in a way, it's like the radio people working with the painters, working with the sculptors who work with the promoters and the digital artists and all that other stuff. We have to start behaving like a community. And so that's kind of why we did the show. So junkartscramble.com for the 50th time. Come on. Bang it,
you heard it. junkartscramble.com.
Yeah. And, you know, thanks to, you know, Pirate Radio is just, you guys rock.
You know. Say it again. I'm going to have you both make you can make your own promo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Ed Martinez from the Junk Art Scramble says, listen to Pirate Radio. You know what I mean? Every single day. Because it rocks.
Thank you. And how about you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hook's buzzworthy. Freak Radio rocks for sure.
Freak rocks.
Thanks, guys. You got any other thoughts or expressions? Or do I need to ask anything?
Go pick up a beach tomorrow.
Okay.
Spend the evening on the beach with a trash can. It's really great. It's good for your soul.
Mm.
It's good for the beach. And it means that we can have a nice, noisy, stinky party every year as long as we go out and pick it up.
Yeah.
That's all we have to do.
Mm.
It's easy.
Yeah, people were doing that yesterday. Yeah. Today.
They were out there this morning. All my neighbors were out on the beach, you know, picking up little sticks and stuff. It'll take a couple of days, but we'll get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From our freedom forum here.
Yeah. No, you know, but it's a big, crazy party. But, you know, like I said, as long as we pick it up when we're done, it's okay. I give my dog a Benadryl.
Yeah, I knew. I was at a place where they had to give the dog some that herbal stuff. Yeah, yep. I know.
Echinacea.
Yeah.
Doggy downers, you know.
Yeah.
So. She staggers over to her basket and goes, "Click."
Happy for it.
Goodbye, dog. Happy for it. Out.
So anyone has ideas, please express them, and you can call Ed, and you can call the station at 427-4523 and leave a voicemail. And also you can send your contribution to P.O. Box 7811.
Yes, that is, you know, and cutting a few bucks out every once in a while is what I mean by staying in community.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, because this is a resource you don't want to lose.
Great.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Hey, there it goes. I'll put mine in the can on the way out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, on this together.
We all drive off the cliff together.
Well, we might land in a great.
That's right. We may land in a much better place, you know? The grass is sometimes greener over there. It is.
Okay, it's been a real pleasure, I guess, and crazy and everything. So.
Everything.
I don't have a song queued up, so I wonder what kind of music you'd like to hear.
I can't wait to see what you've got.
Oh, hey,
you were playing some great stuff when I walked in here.
Great piece of music.
Hey, there we go.
By a woman.
Do another one.
No, this is very low tech. I'm actually feeding around inside of a bag.
It scares me of people that have their music organized enough that they can actually know what they've got in a big bag of stuff.
Here we go.
It's okay. Almost more organization than I can handle.
It's,
number 9.
Okay.
Number 9.
Thanks for listening, kids.
No disc.
It doesn't lock it. It doesn't lock it at all.
That was very fussy.
We just had it made.
Reading, we're reading, yes. What did we say? Number 9.
Anyway, this is the unrehearsed part of the show.
Yeah.
with everybody eating her alive. Hey, if I ever see the girl again, I'm gonna tell her that she can be my friend. Oh, memories, aren't they fun? Fun like a heart attack. Artifacts of hers. What a sorry child. What a golden girl. Well, I moved along. I moved a long way. I'm shocking the gods. I play a good game. I'd like to be there when she is thrown by her hair. I'd tear their faces off and show them their own violence. There she goes, so beautiful. She's so stupid and mad as she comes. Hey, if I had to see the girl again, I'm gonna tell her that she. With everybody eating her alive. If I ever see the girl again, I'm gonna take her hand and I will be her friend. I know just where she lived. I have pictures of her in my head. But that was many. Now she's floating far below my consciousness. Well, I moved along. I moved a long way. I'm shocking the gods. I play a good game. Yet still, I'd like to be there.